Since I've taken Shahada, I have led over 12 other pastors into Islam. So we're going to see more testimonies coming.
Don't want you to be Muslims for two reasons. Let me explain why. If everyone wants to be a Muslim, that's the $1.6 trillion alcohol industry gone. $500 billion gambling industry gone. $50 billion adult and pornography gone.
My next guest, get this.
I was a pastor for 10 years, pastor of the church, a large church in New York City.
Former ex-Pentecostal pastor of a large church. He was a Christian pastor for over 10 years. His story is one of the most touching revert stories, reaching over 2 million people, inspiring many to come into the folds of Islam. Submission to the Creator, not the creation. What's even more amazing is Robert Westmoreland. He came to Islam at a time when he was choosing his death date. I'm excited. Are you? Let's meet Robert.
And I'll tell you what, I'm really excited. The Deen Center is becoming a reality. Allahu Akbar, pulling the resources together, making this dream a reality. A mega da'wah center in the United States. Allahu Akbar. This is the future and it's happening. We've got the location, but now we gotta get the work going. We gotta build the masjid. We gotta build the da'wah center. We need you to donate now, not for me, not for Eddie, but for that masjid, for that house of Allah that Allah would be worshipped in. We need to build that da'wah center where people can come from across the world and come and get trained in how to give da'wah. And non-Muslims can come and learn about Islam. We gotta get this done. Everybody, donate. Let's do this together. It's happening. Allahu Akbar. There is none greater
than the... Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Peace be with you. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well today. It's a beautiful day here.
So I introduced you as a former ex-pastor of 10 years. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
Can we get into that? Tell us a little bit about what made you become a pastor.
My upbringing, I grew up in church, traditional Assemblies of God type of church, Word of Faith. And I always felt a divine pull. And so my rationalization was I was called to be a pastor and I was really good at gathering people. So I was, as a kid, I was always good at gathering little groups of people and it led to adulthood. And so I started a church called Kingdom Culture Center in New York City, boasting about, gosh, we grew from 20 people to over 8 different locations all over the country, and was being mentored by top Christian leaders. And for some reason, I just felt, this is not it. And I started questioning things regarding the Trinity and different religion, and it just wasn't making any sense to me. I couldn't understand a person who went to theology school, matriculated in the highest of Christianity, being a bishop, a so-called a prophet, an apostle, just couldn't have answers. And closed the church down.
Folded. All 8 locations?
All 8 locations. Folded. Wow. Folded. And I went on this journey of trying to find God and ended up going into voodoo.
Into what? Yeah.
Voodoo. Voodoo.
Explain. Unpackage this for us.
All right. So voodoo or voodoo comes out of Nigeria. Some of it comes out of Benin. And there's something called Orisha worship. So it's most people in America know it as Santeria. And it is a mixture of Catholicism and African voodoo. And so I started out in Santeria and what you also call Palo Mayombe, which is the worship of the dead. Very... very animalistic, very, I would say, dark per se. Just was a little too dark for me. So I said I wanted to try the lighter version, which was which we call Ifa, which is also known as Isheshe Lagba. And Isheshe Lagba believes in one God, but God has assistants or partners. And the partners are called the Orishas. And so it's a lot of dealing with a lot of sacrifice, a lot of blood sacrifice, a lot of divination, a lot of different manipulating of the elements. When we talk about the elements, we talk about earth, fire, sky, rain, all these different elements that go into it. And it just, I'm a thinker. I can go into the highest of something and my brain starts thinking, well, when do we get to God here? We worship everything else, but when do we get to God here? And mm-hmm. and the Orisha tradition, the God's name is Oludumare. And Oludumare is distant off and doesn't want much to do with humanity. So he sends the Orishas, who are his partners, who take care of humanity for him. So they require certain things. And I became what you call a Babalawo, which is called a father of mysteries, and initiated several people into the religion, several well-known people into religion, and end up getting sick. I could get people healed. I could do so many different things for other people. If you needed millions of dollars, I can get you millions of dollars. It came to me being sick. I also worked in healthcare, and I began to take on the symptoms of the patients I was treating. And I ended up being in ICU for 2 weeks. And prior to going into ICU, I kept going to my shrines and I kept saying, I'm sick. What is going on here? We'll heal you if you do this. Sacrifice a chicken, sacrifice a goat, sacrifice a cow. I'm getting worse and I'm getting worse and I'm getting worse. And so I ended up on ICU, and really strange. I remember watching two TikTokers, Malachi Click and Amina Roche. And Amina Roche talked about something called Tahajjud. I called it Tajahun. I didn't know how to pronounce it. So Tahajjud.
Tahajjud, yes. The night prayer. That's the night prayer.
And my doctors were literally giving me, because of the sepsis in my body and the infection, I had literally days to live. And so I said, I'm going to try this Tahajjud thing. Let's see if Allah works. And I done tried Oludumare. I done tried all the Orishas. I done tried all this other stuff. I tried Jesus. I done tried everybody. Nothing's working right now. Let me try Tahajjud. So I tried Tahajjud. First night, nothing changed. Second night, nothing changed. Third night is where something really began to change. I would go down to the hospital chapel and they would let me go down and I would pray. The morning of the third night, the doctor came in and he said, we've been testing your blood hour upon hour and we notice your white blood cells are normal. You're normal. I was like, okay, this is Tahajjud. Okay, I'm going to take note. This is Tahajjud. So I guess the Tahajjud works. I was released from the hospital the same morning. And as I was driving home, I began to have thoughts. I don't think Allah did this. I don't think God did this. I'm going home to end this. I'm tired.
I like what you said, because you said Allah, they said God, because some people think this is another God. This is the creator, God Almighty, Allah in Arabic. Yes.
Yes. And so I don't think this really happened. And I'm out of the hospital and I'm going home to end it. And so something said, get your phone, go to TikTok. Malachi Click was on TikTok. And I've never in any TikTok history have ever requested to go on someone's live. I said, can you give me Shahada? And he gave me Shahada. That was on June 26, 2023.
So that was just recently?
That was recently, yes.
Yeah. So for people that don't understand, so the Tahajjud, this is the Muslims are encouraged to get up in the night and to pray to the Creator directly and alone, seeking his blessings, his forgiveness, his mercy, asking of your needs and whatnot. So you actually heard about this Tahajjud from who again?
Malachi Click. Malachi Click, okay, on
TikTok. So you listen to someone from TikTok, Malachi Click, and he's talking about tahajjud, and you're like, let me give it a try. Before that, you were talking about, you can get, what were you saying? Something about $1 million. You can do
I can get people millions of dollars. I can get you healed. I can get you anything that you want. I can, but when it came to me,
yeah,
it was working.
If someone says, how were you able to get, if someone wanted these material things, millions, how?
Rituals. So what you do is you do a lot of rituals and Orisha practice, and you can do what I said in the beginning, manipulation. There's a lot of manipulation here. If a particular shrine, for instance, Orisha Ajay, which is the Orisha of money, if I needed a client to have money, we would ask this Orisha, what do you want? It would tell you what it wanted, and then we would go ahead and do the shrine. Also, we had them take in certain medicines and incantations and certain things. They had to do rituals, baths. We would get results. I would get results in probably about 2 weeks with most of my clients.
Yeah.
Yes.
So these are working with the jinn, we'd say. You obviously know what the jinn are.
And in fact, I work with jinn.
So you were working with the jinn.
Correct.
Now, did you know at the time you were working at the jinn? What, you didn't call them jinn? What were you calling? What did you identify the jinn and at that time?
Oh, jinns. Okay. Again, there's two different practices I did. Palo Mayombe, we would call it the Egungun, or the dead spirits. And so I knew I was working with a diabolical spirit. And so if you want to get your bidding done, give the spirit what it wants and it will do what it wants for you. But of course, there's nothing for free. And so you trade off a little bit, maybe a couple of years of your life. You trade off a couple of different things to get these things to happen. And so with clients, they would say, listen, I'm about to audition for a movie. Can you do this for me? Sure, we're gonna speak to the jinns and the spirits, and the spirits are gonna tell us what we need to do. And so it worked. Well-known people, I will never say their names, but they were good clients. And it was very lucrative.
And how long was this part of your life going on for? After the pastor part, being after a pastor, how long were you doing? 7 years?
7 years.
So you were a priest in this profession now?
Yes.
So you're technically, they have a priest in this, what is it called again?
A babalao.
Wow.
Yes.
And this is all happening in New York?
This is happening in New York, yes.
Okay. So do the babalao also, they have like a temple? What do they call it?
They have temples. It's called, what is it called? They call it temple or ijo or different things like that, or ile. And so I had several temple members. To track back, what really made me start questioning everything was the death of my adopted daughter, who was a priest. She's what you call an Oshun priest, the deity of love, the river deity. She was.
This is your daughter now.
Adopted daughter, yes. Adopted daughter.
Adopted daughter. Away.
Yes, it'll be a year, March 3rd this year.
She was also part of this.
Yes.
And she was a. What did you call the title?
She was a priestess. A priestess.
She was a priestess. How old was she?
She was 32.
32. Okay. Tell us about this. What were you saying now?
She had stage 4 cancer. Apparently, it was a cancer that was hereditary. Her grandmother, her mother died from the same type of cancer. And so we were told by the Orisha or by Ifa, if she wanted to live, she needed to initiate. We did the initiations and everything went worse.
Wait, tell us again those names you said. Those are the spirits?
The spirits are Ifa, which is known as the divinity of, he's supposed to be the prophet of Oludumare. And he's it's almost a trinity over there when it comes to Isheshe. Let me bring it back. Let me help you. Let me break it
down for you. This is going to be very interesting for a lot of people. And
so over in Isheshe, what you have is called three major spirits. Obatala, who I was initiated to, is the god of creation or the divinity of creation. Then you have the supreme being, Oludumare, and then you have Orumila, who is the prophet or the spokesman of Oludumare.
So now they're becoming, these spirits are having titles that only belong to the creator, to God Almighty.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a false hierarchy.
The ultimate of, obviously you know now, shirk.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And so she was promised by Orumila that if she does initiation into his cult, she would be healed.
Mm-hmm.
She was also promised by Oshun, who's also known as a divinity as well, that she would be healed as well, and also Egbe. Now, Egbe,
How are these communications taking place with her?
Divination. It's all done by divination. It's
what is divination for people that don't know?
So divination board is we have something called an opuele.
Like a Ouija board?
Almost like a Ouija board.
Uh-huh. Divination board. It's called divination board.
A divination board or an opuele. O-P-E-L-E. Opuele. Mm-hmm. And so we would divine, we would call the spirit down, and the spirit would speak through the board.
Wow.
And the board will say, what you call is 264 signs. And these signs of which, as a Babalao, my job is to interpret the signs. And so whatever the sign fell is the answer. And so because she was my daughter, I went to another Babalao to do the divination so it would be fair. And he was accurate. He was the same. I knew the signs. The signs fell. Okay, this is what they're saying. She did the initiation. She was literally exhausted all of her funds. Her husband is actually a Muslim. Go figure. Husband is a Muslim, grew up in Islam. He's doing everything to try to save her life. Nothing's working. She has a full mastectomy, breasts are removed. Cancer comes back even more aggressive. Mm-hmm. She goes into almost a comatose state and dies literally 2 weeks after her, three months after her initiation. And so the promises were never fulfilled. And so my thinking is, if they could lie about this, what have they been lying to me about?
So the promises from the jinn, the evil spirits, they were never fulfilled.
Never fulfilled.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So now you're like, okay, if they're lying about this, obviously the other thing. So then that has you, then you hear the tahajjud from the TikTok, mm-hmm. and now you go ahead and you start communicating. Before when you were a pastor, let's take it back. Mm-hmm. What was your, because there's a lot of people, and I've interviewed different Christians, and one that comes to mind is a senior pastor, and he talks about how he was fed a lot of this stuff, and they were preaching to the church that the Muslims are coming to get you. You know, Islam is the enemy. What was it with you now at that time when you're a pastor, a Christian pastor? What did you know about Islam? What was your impression of Islam at that time?
My influence of Islam actually came more of from the Nation of Islam.
Nation of Islam.
I do have an uncle who is a Muslim, but he does not deal with the family. He's very extreme. He's part of an extreme group. We'll put it like that. And so my judgment of Islam was judgmental. They're judgmental. They live on their own. They can't get along with the Jews. And that's how we're taught. Mm. So, you know, from the Christian perspective, that's how we're taught. They don't get along with the Jews. So, you know, pro-Jew, pro-Israel, you know, that's the teaching that we learn in evangelicalism of Muslims and Islam. So for me, it was just like, I don't know if I would. I'm going to try Allah, but I'm not going to try this Muslim stuff because they. Right. My thought is like, not for me, not for me.
Mm, so even right now, we can kind of connect with what's the injustices that are going on right now in Palestine and Gaza. You see what's happening, but the programming that was even at that time, this whole thing. Even though Muslims, if you look at the history, have always welcomed Jews, protected Jews. But you were programmed to think, even back then, that Muslims just hated Jews?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Wow.
Definitely. It was a story of the two brothers, Mother Hajar's son,
Ishmael.
And Abraham. That's what we're taught. So the Bible tells us that, you know, he'll be a father. He'll be a great father, but there's always going to be a fight between him and his brothers. So that's just something we embrace. Okay, they're always going to fight. So. Mm-hmm.
And then you discussed earlier, so you talk about this Trinity. Were there other people amongst your congregation and others? Because this is something, obviously, it just boggles the mind, the Trinity. I mean, Islam is straightforward and clear. God is one, worship him alone. That's it. Same message throughout time. It's a chain that was never broken. One God, that's it. But then you get into the Trinity, it's confusing. Got to do a bunch of mental gymnastics, and it just blows your mind. You're breaking your mind trying to make it work. Was this something, can you elaborate a little bit more on this, you know, the struggle with this?
as a senior pastor, I never really preached about the Trinity. I just always preached about God. We saw Jesus as pretty much as a way shower. As much as I went to school, we really couldn't break down. I always had an issue with the Trinity because I read that God is one in the Bible, and then all of a sudden God changes his mind and becomes three persons. It just was a conflict for me. And who is the Holy Spirit? How did he show up? Like, who are you? You know, the Bible is very clear from the evangelical standpoint. This is God right here in the Old Testament. And then there's a break, and then God all of a sudden becomes three in one. It just wasn't clicking for me. And I remember talking to my leadership staff, talking to my leaders and saying, this doesn't make sense. Well, you got to think about it this way. You're a spirit, you're a soul, you have a body, you're a triune being. Okay, that still doesn't explain God to me.
I think this is
he said I'm one.
Yeah, this is very important. So you went to your higher leaderships and you discussed this. Yeah. Yeah, I think this is important. People, they hear this because sometimes you think it's just me, I can't understand. And then you feel kind of guilty. But no, this is something that is just, it's illogical. It doesn't make sense. And the people who hear this now coming from you, a pastor of over 10 years, that you were struggling with it. I'm sure there's so many more that, you know, the majority of people that it just doesn't make sense. And they just blindly submit to this.
Absolutely. And for many people, even my leaders had questions. So they said, just think about it this way. Don't try. These are the mysteries. This is the mysteries of Christ. You know, just accept it for what it is. We'll never understand it, but just accept it. But the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Well, we made that up. We put that together to describe who God is. I said, well, we're giving God extracurricular names now. Mm-hmm. And so it got me a lot of hot water. And the great part about being that I had leaders was that I didn't have to listen to them. I did my thinking for myself. And so doing my thinking, I begin to explore other things. I was like, this doesn't make sense. If God is one, then how did he become three? And it just became a cluster of, this is not the answer. And I told my congregation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have some pushback from the congregation? How were they responding to that?
The great part about it is most of these people that I led into the congregation, I led them into Christianity. So they took what I said for word. It was like, it never made sense to us. Mm-hmm. We'll do what you say. We'll go where you're going to go with this. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty easy to transition. So
yeah,
went independent. And then I said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And we closed down.
What about the concept of Jesus, who we love? Did you know at that time that Muslims, did you have any idea that Muslims love and believe in Jesus as a mighty messenger? And this concept of not just Trinity, but him being literally God, Son of God, like literally, not metaphorically. How did you transition out of that?
I remember it took me back. It's funny because there were just little instances where I was actually having interactions with Muslims. And I had an Uber driver. He said, you know, we believe in Jesus. I said, yeah, okay. Yeah, he said, we believe in Jesus. Why don't you come to the masjid? We'll teach you more. But I had a moment. I was at a food stand. And I just felt this presence from this Muslim brother. And he was cooking my food. And he says, Habibi, I want you to know that Allah loves you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm a Christian. He said, okay, Allah loves you. I just want to let you know that. I don't know why I felt to tell you that. I was like, okay. But I knew from the cab driver that Muslims believe in Jesus. I just didn't know the extent. He said, we believe he's in another time. He's an eternal time. We don't believe that he went on a cross. And I was like, oh, miss me with that. We believe in a cross. I don't care what you got to say about that. Mm-hmm. You know, he went on a cross. He died for my sins. That's what we believe. And that kind of turned me off. But at the same time, it stood in the back of my head.
It was a seed. It was a seed planted. It's to stay there.
Yeah.
Wow. Crucifixion.
Yes.
Tell us about that now. How did you deal with, obviously in Islam, just like in the Bible, it says that the Father shall not bear the iniquity of the Son, nor the Son of the Father. It's actually even there. And this whole concept, Jesus never ever, as you know, like now that he never ever said explicitly, I'm God, I'm coming to die for your sins. And you explain this to people and they're like, no, it's his blood. We have to believe it. The crucifixion. Right. How did you deal with that? Now I'm packaging that in your mind and some people just can't get away from it. They put it on Jesus, all the sins. No, he died for him.
Oh yeah. I had a problem with it in the beginning. I had a problem with a lot of things in the beginning. But the Bible actually says something. Cursed is the man who hangs from a tree.
Good point. Yes.
And if in fact there were some things that just didn't make any sense in the story, being theologically trained, we knew some things that went on that we knew scriptures were added to the Bible. And so from my theological standpoint, I had to reason with some things and speak to some of my classmates. I said, listen, bro, you know, I'm a Muslim now. I'm becoming a Muslim. We don't believe this and that. When was Matthew, Luke, John written? Well, bro, they were written probably like 60 years after Jesus. So how authentic are they? We really don't know how authentic they are. We don't even know if Matthew, Luke, John wrote it. And so me using that rationale made me think about it. Okay, well, do I really believe in a cross? Because cursed is a man who hangs on a tree. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that, and it said it in reference to Jesus. And so for me, it was kind of easy to let it go. But the hard part for me was, well, who takes away my sins now? Mm. That was the only hard part for me. It was like, okay, who redeems me? How am I redeemed? And so learning some fiqh and akida, I got my answers out of that. So that was the good part of, you know, one thing about Malachi Click, he was like, look, you're going to Safina Society, take some classes, get you some akida, get you some fiqh, learn what this is before you even do anything else. And so that was a good part, was getting in depth into that and learning those truths to help me. Because when I started doing dawah, and it wasn't on purpose, people had questions and I had answers. Mm-hmm. And that's important right now. And I tell that to a lot of Muslims, make sure you have some answers, because they have questions. Mm-hmm. And that was able to help me. And so getting away from the Trinity, getting away from the cross was hard. But once I started taking classes and getting into it, I understood. I was like, yeah, this is a big hoax. This mm-hmm. is a lie. This is really a myth. And then the Bible lets you know that verses have been added to it.
So you guys knew that, you knew this at that time as a pastor of 10 Ooh. Years. You guys knew that it was been manipulated. The text has been manipulated. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're actually anonymous books. This is according Correct. To Christian resources and scholarship.
Why do you think we have so many translations? Mm.
So many versions.
None of them all agree. Mm-hmm. None of them agree with the original manuscripts. None of them actually agree. There's over 265 biblical translations. Mm-hmm. Why? Why so many? And everyone has their own version. And they change and they alter and they say this and they take away this and they put it. We know that. So as pastors, we have to soothe the ears and give them a good logical reason. Mm-hmm. So manipulation wow. at its finest.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said there. Now, where okay, you're trying to figure out who died for your sins and whatnot. There's nobody dying for your sins. Self accountability. And now in Islam, for those that don't know, you turn to the Most High, the Most Loving, the Most Merciful, directly without a middleman, and you ask for forgiveness. And God Almighty Allah is the Most Forgiving, the Most Merciful. He forgives all sins. Yes. And it's straightforward, simple.
Straightforward.
Yeah. And did you ever think now, like, you know, it often blows my mind, especially I'm thinking about it now with what's, again, going on there in Gaza and this whole propaganda about Muslims hating Jews and this relationship between the two Christians and Zionists and the programming with pastors in America. I don't know if you know, when I had this pastor, he talks about, and this is very important to know about this dispensationalism mm-hmm. and the Cyrus Schofield and the Schofield Bible. He was a con man, Cyrus Schofield, mm-hmm. and then they used this to go ahead and push much of this Zionist propaganda out there, right. interpreting certain verses in the Bible to link it back. You know about this?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, okay. Yeah. So I think this is extremely important. But now, knowing that for our Christian viewers and friends out there, knowing that Muslims are not, it's actually other people, this is with all sensitivity and love that we explain this, it's actually other people that are anti-Jesus, are anti-Christ. Muslims love Christ. That's the ironic, crazy thing, you know? Yes. People try to paint Muslims as they're the anti-Christ. Well, you can't be a Muslim if you're anti-Christ.
It doesn't work together. It's oil and water. It doesn't mix.
Yeah.
And I find that Muslims, sad to say, there are Muslims that love Jesus more than Christians love Jesus. And there are Muslims who have a lot of, that have Jesus' attributes more than a lot of so-called Christians do. And it's interesting. It's very interesting. And it's alarming because I was like, wait a minute, you're more Christian than I am. Okay, whatever.
That's a fact. Yes. Yep. Yes. Yep. The way he greeted, we'll give some examples. Shalom aleik, salam aleik, peace be with you. Yep. He would say, peace be with you. His fasting, he fasted, we fast. The way he prayed and he fell on his face and prayed to God. This is in the Bible. We pray the same way. We worship the one God that he worshiped, not him, but the one that he worshiped. We go on and on.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So before we wrap up, let's conclude here. So you're accepting Islam, your death day. So you're ready to die. You're about to die. Let's finish off with this. This is very powerful to remind us and the viewing audience that this life is exceptionally short. We get caught up with this dunya, and it's very scary thinking about death. You are facing death. Yes. And many of us now, we might die tomorrow, today. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And people are not reflecting and thinking, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? Why is this so important?
It's important because, one, you have been given a purpose and you've been given a written destiny. Allah himself has called you for purpose. And one of the things is the power of surrendering. And though I wanted to die and I wanted to give up, I literally heard a loud voice on the inside to say, do this. Go on the internet and do this. I had no intention of being a Muslim. I was going to take my tahajjud healing and going back to my voodoo and making my money. I was good with that. It was good money. But at the same time, there's a power in submission and surrendering to Allah. There's a peace that you will have that you cannot have out of this dunya that you only get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And so if you are searching for that peace, surrender. Mm-hmm. Before you think about giving up, get in a place of submission and surrender and understand that you have a creator who says, I am who my servant thinks I am. Mm. I am who my servant needs me to be. And that is personal for me, because, again, I was in a worship where I had a distant God, an unknown God, a God with three heads, and now a God I don't have to imagine. Mm-hmm. I just know that he is. Mm-hmm. I know that Allah is. That's all I need to know.
And I remind people that Jesus didn't speak English. He spoke Aramaic, and yes, he would say, Allah, Allah. This is the same creator, the same God. Tell me before we conclude, I was watching a video of you, and it was reacting to a Muslim lady.
Don't want you to be Muslims for two reasons. Let me explain why. If everyone wants to be a Muslim, that's the $1.6 trillion alcohol industry gone. $500 billion gambling industry, gone. $50 billion adult and pornography, gone. Hollywood, gone. Interest-based loan that the world banks rely on, gone. It's economical suicide for everyone to become a Muslim. Because being a Muslim makes your ambitions anti-consumerism and promotes a disciplined lifestyle. The thing they want you to do, if you became disciplined, you became difficult to sell and difficult to control. And this is why West media and the elites are working day and night to program your children to lose their sense of shame and become people who follow their lusts, feelings, and desires. If you let them follow their desires, you can sell, control, and profit off of them. And the only stronghold and defense against this is hideous ideology. in the world right now is Islam. And that's why they hated everyone who became a Muslim, because their world were crumbles into pieces.
Talking about why they hate Islam, something about the gambling, the alcohol, all of this. Can you elaborate on that? The industry, they would be pretty much out of business. That's why there's this fight and push against Islam.
Let's put it like this. Islam is the peacemaker. And what people don't understand is that all these vices that people are looking for, they're looking to worship God, and they're using these codependencies to fill that void of not having Allah in their life. And so the industry was shut down immediately. If Sharia law came in, if all these different laws came in, if Islamic law came in, the world businesses would shut down, because people want their vices because it's their God.
Mm.
They want the corn hub and the different things and the alcohol because it's the medication to help them fill that void of what they really want. And so the only thing the world knows is to look towards the vices instead of the creator. And so when you have that that understanding that the creator can fill that void, you won't look to those vices. You won't smoke, you won't drink, you won't get on late night on your phone and doing things you shouldn't be doing, because mm-hmm. you realize that that void has been filled, and that void can only be filled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself.
Absolutely. And you said something, Sharia. This is the Ten Commandments. This is God. Mm-hmm. This is the divine law that's actually mentioned over 200 sometimes, actually in the Bible also.
Right.
So thank you so much. Very, very interesting story. Inshallah, this inspires so many more pastors, so many more human beings to look deeply into Islam, to think about the purpose of life, and to contemplate on death and the reality of it coming at any time, and for us to be prepared for it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Can I add this as well?
Absolutely.
We have, since I've taken Shahada, I have led over 12 other pastors into Islam. So we're going to see more testimonies coming.
Hold on. wait. 12. You've helped guide 12 other Christian pastors to Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation. Yes.
Yes.
Please share.
I'll send them away. I'll send them your way.
we love to talk with them, and inshallah, expose more people to their stories. It's great news.
Amen.
Give them my peace, my salams.
I would definitely do that.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about, and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. We know there are many benefits to the use of black seed according to the authentic statements of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. That's why I use the black seed by Tasneem, and 50% of the profits from your order will go towards establishing the Deen Center, the Masjid and Mega Dawah Center. Use promo code The Deen Show for 15% off.